management or owners of WGBB.
1240 WGBB Freeport.
Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want. Live from WGBB, Long Island's oldest radio station. Oh, this is the most listened to show on the station. It's time for Listen Up. Jesus is on the air. And welcome everyone. Welcome listeners. Welcome guests. Welcome everyone. Welcome Jesus. And thank you so much for listening. This show has some special guests and co-hosts, by the way, is Brother Paul Miller. Brother Miller, are you there?
I'm here. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Brother Miller. And thank you so much for co-hosting, because you want to know the truth of the matter is I could never do it alone. So thank you so much. Welcome. And so, Brother Miller, we have two distinguished guests. They've been on our show before, and I'll let them introduce themselves. Carol, introduce yourself.
Hi, Brother Paul. It's Carol Rubano from
Living Waters Counseling
Center.
And your better half.
And my husband.
Hi, Brother Paul. It's Vinny Rubano.
Hey, how are you? Good to hear from you.
And thank you all for coming. Thank you for all being here. I just wanted to, if it's okay, I just wanted to open the show with saying a little prayer for my co-host, Dr. John Palmer, who is having some medical situations. And so what we did is in our prayer group, so everyone knows, we set a rosary, a scriptural rosary for Dr. John Palmer several weeks ago. And after each section, we talked about a certain aspect. And we put all those thoughts together, and we made a prayer out of it. And so I'd like to read it. I like to call it Johnny's Prayer. The official name is Prayer for John. Okay, so I want to read it. I want to offer it up for my dear partner, John. And I hope he's listening. And we want him to know that he's loved by so many people. It's unbelievable how many people love Dr. John Palmer. So, Father God, we rejoice in the blessing of your son, Dr. John Palmer, in our lives. Thank you for bringing him into our lives. We thank you for John. He is a light to the nations, bathed in your light, shining upon him. He is the fearless prayer warrior, a tower of strength, and a Christian hero for so many of our beloved children. We pray this rosary for John, thought, and know all his friends will remember him in their prayers each day. We ask for a renewal of John's mind and body, removing all pain and anguish as he is restored to good health. We surrender all to you, Jesus. We trust in you, Lord, for John's complete recovery, in your time and in your way, according to your will. We ask for the intercession of our Blessed Mother Mary, for we know that you will not refuse anything she asks in your name. John's heart belongs to you, Father. Grant him your peace, hope, and joy by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so this prayer is from the Spirit-led Rosary, prayed for Dr. John Palmer, by Christ the King Prayer Group Community, and it was composed on June the 30th, 2005.
Very beautiful, very beautiful.
Thank you. And
very, very right on target as to who John is, that's for sure.
Thank you. And so let me introduce my co-host, Brother Paul Miller.
Oh, by the way, I want to change my designation.
Yes.
I'd like to be known as a pinch hitter.
Because,
you know, pinch hitters aren't good enough to be play every day. Once in a while, the team needs somebody to pinch hit. So from this point on, I want to be known as the pinch hitter.
Okay, but you really, I love you. You're so humble. You're unbelievable, Paul. But Paul, let me just tell them a little something about about you. You're a professed member of the Franciscan Order. You're married with 4 adult children and 11 grandchildren. You beat me out. And you have a very powerful healing ministry of divine mercy. And it was established under the guidance of Reverend Joseph Cato, I believe, pastor of the parish of the Transfiguration Church in Newark, New Jersey. But you also are a spiritual son of Maria Espinanza, a servant of God. And you had a very interesting encounter with Maria Espinanza and how you became her spiritual son and how you are so close to her. Do you have a quick minute just to, don't have to tell us the whole story, but just tell us your relationship with Maria Espinanza, Paul?
Well, in 1997, I had the extreme blessing, I would say, to be asked by Maria to meet her. And it was quite unexpected. And during the first 5 hours I met Maria Espinanza, many amazing things happened, including me being healed of a heart problem plus a disability from the Army that was almost 30 years old. And my mother, who wasn't with me but was there spiritually nevertheless, was healed and began walking the next day. So it was a complete amazing first meeting, first day, first 5 hours. Well, as it turns out, I spent the rest of her life with her until she died in 2004, and I traveled extensively with her. I spent much time with her, and I shared many spiritual and mystical experiences with her during those 7 years. And really, it was that meeting that really initiated my ministry, and you could say my conversion, although I was a Catholic, a practicing Catholic, and I would say probably a good Catholic at that point. This encounter raised the stakes quite substantially, and it basically brought about the beginning of my healing ministry, the beginning of many, many things.
And you certainly are involved in so many, many things. We'll get into that later on, but you are certainly doing Jesus' work and what Jesus says for you to do. So now let's get back to Carol and to Neil. Carol, what's with you? Tell us a little something. Tell us a little something about your ministry.
Maybe you should ask my husband what's with me. He's been wondering that for 41 years.
Oh,
I'm still wondering. Yeah.
So tell us about your ministry and about your counseling.
Okay. All right. I started my ministry of Living Waters Counseling Center in 2000. I felt I was being called by the Lord to have a center that is a counseling center, but it's faith-based, based on the Catholic Church, the teachings of the Catholic Church. I did that because this is a second career for me, counseling, and when I entered the field, I had another counseling center, and it was supposed to be spiritual, but I realized spiritual wouldn't do it, that it needed to be more than spiritual. It needed to be also affiliated with my faith. Mm-hmm. And so I started Living Waters Counseling Center, and it's been going since 2000 in the new millennium.
Mm-hmm. So you have a counseling center based, predicated on the Catholic teachings. Is that correct?
That's correct, right.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah,
that alone is phenomenal. And what type of counseling do you do?
Well, you name it and we do it. Our chief understanding is that Jesus is the healer to everything. We use our skills, but really underneath it all, we submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit in a counseling session. So we never know where it's going to go. But we work with all kinds of individuals, couples, and families. We serve from age 5 to 90. And you name the life experience, and we will be there for you.
So if anyone is having any family difficulties, drinking difficulties, mental difficulties, and they want to be counseled with a Catholic perspective, you're the one to go to. Is that correct?
Well, that's what we've heard.
Okay. Well, I think, Paul, you have any specific
questions?
Yeah,
I have a question. I mean, I know the answer because I know the center, but I think for our listeners, it would be good to talk about your professional accreditation because, you know, when you say counseling, it's sometimes it can be very nebulous. So,
great question.
Well, that is a good question. Well, I myself, personally, I'm a certified clinical social worker. And I'm licensed. All people on my staff are licensed by the state of New York. I'm also a certified alcohol and substance abuse counselor. So, and most of the people on my staff can deal with problems with addictions. So we really are based, you know, we are licensed, meaning we can accept insurance, which is a big thing in this
absolutely.
Day and age
yes.
because of the expense. And although we go by the guidelines of what the insurance company states, we also do a sliding scale at times if people don't have the insurance, even with Obamacare.
Okay. So the difference between Living Waters and other counselors is that you bring Christ into it. You bring Jesus into it. You bring the Catholic Church into it. Is that correct?
That's true. We do that. And it's really amazing because we are located in a place in an old convent on the property of a church, but we're not affiliated with that parish. We rent space there. But when you come into our center, you'll see all over the place crosses and the Blessed Mother and Jesus and angels, saints, whatever. But would you believe we have people of all faiths or no faiths coming to us too?
I think that's phenomenal. I think that is literally phenomenal.
I mean, we're not hiding who we are.
Right.
And yet people are coming if sometimes they have no faith.
Wow.
I was going to say, do you have many people that come who are not either Catholic or Catholic background?
Correct. We have people who come that do not have a Catholic background, right?
So what if the client doesn't want prayer? What do you do about that? What if they say, no, I'd rather not have prayer? How do you handle that?
Oh, sure, we handle that. They can say it, and we pray in the background. They don't know about it, though. But, of course, we will go along with what the person needs.
Can you get them?
We go along with what the person needs.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Hey,
you know, one of the most vexing problems that I come across in my healing ministry across the United States is the number of people who
I'm doing a radio show.
No, besides those.
Okay.
The ones who suffer from depression, Cal. So what's your experience with, you know, the amounts of depression, et cetera, you're seeing in your practice?
Oh, there's a huge amount of depression that we see and anxiety. And what we do is we help the person to move through it with God's help. And sometimes there needs to be, besides counseling, medication.
Okay. Newsflash. We have a special guest, Dr. John Palmer. Dr. Palmer, how are you?
I was getting depressed, so I figured I would call you.
Oh, it's so good to hear your voice, John.
Thank you so much, Dr. Palmer. You are
I'm doing fine. I'm under doctor's care. I'm going to be here probably in rehab for another week or two, and then we'll see where we go from there.
Oh, from there, you're coming back on the show, right?
Well, let's see how it goes.
Come on. You know you're coming back.
He's on the show now.
What's this Paul Miller being on here?
You know, I'm tired of pinch hitting for you, John, you know?
You know where he came from.
And I'm giving you the big bucks so that you can do that.
Well, I appreciate the chance.
Well,
listen, congratulations. The show sounds good. And I just want everybody to know keep me in your prayer, and let's see what happens as we go along.
John, okay? you're in our prayers, and I hope you heard the special prayer we said for you when we opened the show. Were you listening? Did you hear the special prayer?
I didn't hear the Johnny prayer, but...
You heard the Johnny prayer?
They give it to me on a disc. I know that.
Oh, okay. I'll give it to you on a disc. But, yes, we said the Johnny prayer when we opened the show.
You don't know how grateful I am for all the people who have sent prayer and requests and emails and everything. It's just been so inspiring for me, especially when you get worn down to nothing when you're all by yourself and you have nothing else to do but to get down the dumps. That's why I called. I was getting depressed.
You came in at the right time,
You came in at the right time, baby. You really did. And it was, I'm so happy you called. I really am.
Well, before I depress you anymore, I'll just say, keep me in prayer and we'll be in touch.
Okay, listen, I want you to know we love you. I love you. And I'll see you this afternoon. And I'm going to have a little friend with me when I come. You know that, right?
All right.
Who's the friend?
Jesus.
Woo!
So Jesus and I will be there this afternoon.
Well, does Tony have friends?
I don't know. I find that hard to believe.
Me too. Okay, guys. We'll talk.
Take care, Johnny. Take care, I love John. You, baby. We
well,
love you, baby. Take care.
Definitely, definitely.
Thank you, John. What a treat. Dr. John Palmer called in. Oh, I was praying that he would call in. And he sounds good.
Yeah, he sounds strong.
Yeah, he sounds good. And mm-hmm. Very nice. And, I'll see him this afternoon. I'll be there.
I always called Dr. Palmer the Pied Piper of Souls, you know?
Yeah.
He just brings people bring to the Lord.
I didn't realize how many people are so dedicated to Dr. Palmer until this happened. And, and all the calls and all the people coming to see him. And I caught you there going there, right?
Of course.
A few times. And so he's loved. He's certainly loved. And John, I think that love is going to bring you back to healing, I'm sure. And I know Jesus loves you. God bless you. Can we do one thing? Can we get into a song?
Absolutely. That'd be great.
Trevor, can we have this first song, People Need People, or whatever it is?
They pass me by. I can see it in their eyes. Empty people filled with care, headed who knows where. On they go. Private pain, living food to fear, laughter hides their silent cries. Only Jesus hears. People need the Lord. Thank you. are called to take his light to a world where wrong seems right.
People need the Lord. Isn't that the truth?
Not only is that the truth, but to go back to Brother Paul's question about depression, unless the Lord is in it, the depression won't lift. You know, it will temporarily lift. But God's the healer. Prayer is important. And love that prayer brings is, and hope that prayer brings. And that's why it's so important to have the Lord in a counseling center.
Yes, and to have the Lord in our lives.
I
profess that Jesus should be the CEO of all our businesses and all our endeavors. And I can tell you, and I say this very humbly, my God, my Lord, my Savior, Jesus Christ, has never let me down. Never, no matter what, he has never let me down. And I don't think he'll let any of us down. And all we need to do is to put ourselves in front of them. So, Carol, if someone wants to go to you, do they have to have any preliminary things done? Or is it just a matter of a phone call, make an appointment, and coming down and visit? If there are people out there that need guidance. There are people out there that are hurting. They're hurting in the mind, in the body, in the spirit. Mm-hmm. They certainly need someone like you and someone like Brother Paul Miller, who does unbelievable things. We haven't even gotten into that. But what do they do? Call you?
Well, sure. They call our center.
And what's that number?
631-754-3990. 631-754-3990. That's the initial step they take. They talk with me first. I talk with them. And then from there, most people would like to have their insurance involved, so my insurance person talks to them. There, our website, which is livingwaterscounseling.biz, B-I-Z, B as in boy, I as in iron, Z as in zebra, on that are forms that they would fill out. And we schedule a time when they meet with me first. And we talk, we pray. So I'm the first person to meet with them. And
you meet with them personally?
Yeah, I'm the first to meet with them. Right, uh-huh.
And then you take it from there? Is that
and
the
then then I pray and decide what counselor would be best suited for them, okay? But it's a very humbling experience to be the first to meet with a person, because really it's holy ground and all their pain is coming out. I might be the first person around to hear their pain at that level.
Wow.
To hear that pain at that level.
So if there's anyone out there that's suffering in pain or being troubled or being bothered, and they call you at 631-754-3990?
Yes.
They can talk to you personally?
Yes. Oh, yeah. I'll call them back.
That's a
we
big
play telephone tag at times, but yeah, that's life. But we do get to talk with one
okay
another. Mm-hmm.
And you take insurance and all that stuff?
Absolutely. Most okay insurance companies, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Which is a big part of the ministry. It does help people tremendously.
I'm sure. I'm sure. Mm-hmm. By the way, I don't mean to interrupt, but I just got a news flash, and I have to say it from my dear friend Al Barbarino,
oh,
the singer of our theme song for 240 times. And Al is appearing this weekend doing a parish mission at St. Jude in Mystic, Long Island. And it's for Monday, Sunday, and Monday nights. So if you're in Mastic and you want to hear a good parish mission, please listen. Go see my dear friend, Al Barbarino. Mm-hmm. Okay, Al, how'd I do, buddy? All right? God bless you. Love you, baby. All right, now, if you you take them on, you check their insurance, so and they would be covered by insurance, chances are?
Sure. Mm-hmm. And if they aren't, we will work with them and help them, if at all possible, to be able to take part in our services. We have a not-for-profit arm that just began, so we try to help people.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you can handle, you're licensed to handle people with drinking problems, mental health problems. What are the problems?
Okay. Any addiction, whether it be drinking or drugs or it could be a process addiction. The big addiction out right now is sex addiction, believe it or not.
Uh-huh.
With pornography and the internet, that's a big addiction. Gambling, it could even be shopping, could be food, whatever the addiction is, we handle. We handle couple therapy. Marriages have gotten to a place where they're more in tune with what the will of God is in their lives, the two people. We try and help people to work through the difficulties in their marriage so that they do keep the promise they made of staying with one another.
I see. I mm-hmm see. Brother Paul, do you have any difficult questions? I ask only easy questions.
Well, I have an uncomfortable question to ask.
Uh-huh.
That is that, you know, Carol, in my travels, I will sometimes meet people that feel as if they're possessed.
They're what, Brother Paul?
They feel as if they're possessed.
Oh,
the devil.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
They suffer from possession.
Okay.
And, of course, what happens to most of these people is that they go to their parish priest and, you know, tell them about it. And I have to say that, for the most part, the post priests are, you know, baffled by these kinds of things because they're very complicated and not necessarily possession. So I was curious to see if you ever have run into that yourself and have people ever been referred to you.
Vinny's shaking his head over here, Brother Paul. Vinny's shaking his head up and down.
She's had to deal with several of those. I'll let her tell you from an overview how she handles it.
But. Right, right.
Yes, well, yes, we have. And more, there are quite a few people that come to us with that.
Right.
So what we do is we try and see and discern whether it, most people do not need an exorcism, but they need deliverance at times from
right
whatever is, you know, what spirit is attacking them. So
right
we might pray with them, we work with them. People come in and they'll ask for an exorcism, but that's not necessarily what they need. If The devil attacks us in our weakest areas. So if the person continues to do things and doesn't close the door to the devil will keep attacking there. And so we work with them on an emotional level to help them close those doors. We ask them to make sure they're right with God, make sure that they are, going to Mass, sitting before the Blessed Sacrament, going to healing Masses, going to confession, confession's big, so that they fill up their house, their soul, with God, and then evil cannot attach to someone who they can attack, but they can't attach to someone who's filled with God, who's filled with God. So we do work with people who believe that they have evil that's attacking them. And as a matter of fact, we have even taken people or recommended different priests who work with someone who believes that they are under the influence of the devil. But we work with those people. It's very, very difficult, very, very hard to discern whether it's a mental health issue or whether it truly is a deliverance issue. But we do have some professionals that are very, very in tune with and trained to know whether it is one or the other. So I don't know if I answered your question.
No, you did. That's a very good answer. And I think it holds out hope for people because, obviously in my ministry, people are delivered very often. And sometimes they don't even know what's bothering them.
Right.
But I do find people who also are sort of obsessed about it. And they're people that need, professional counseling help to help them sort out, what's going on in with them. And so I do run into that. So it's good to know that you do that because, for me, I can refer people to you because of that. And for those listeners who know about the situation, it'd be good to know that.
Yes, we do.
Sometimes people cover that up,
They cover it up a lot unless they're in the presence of safe people. Then they'll talk about it. Sometimes when they're obsessed and they refuse to take in the healing power of, they choose not to or decide not to. I don't know how else to say it. Sometimes there's an underlying mental condition that stops them from allowing the Lord to come in there and really release them.
So
we help people with that. We bring them as far as they're willing to go.
Right.
Sometimes people are, just as when you're praying over someone, and I have been at your healing services, and I do know, I have a sense when something's being released from someone because of their behavior when they're being prayed over. But sometimes people would rather hold on to that identity, believe it or not, than they say they want to be released, but they don't.
I know many cases like that where people actually enjoy the notoriety.
Yes. Yeah. Unfortunately. Right. Yeah. It's almost, and the devil could get them in that, actually. It's almost a prideful thing. I don't know how else to say it, but that's our, the basis of all our sinning is pride, basically.
Right. Right. Have you ever participated in an actual exorcism?
Yeah. Many years ago, Vin and I were part of, we took my mother to Father DiOrio's healing service in Coney Island, and there was an exorcism. Do you want to talk about it, Vinny?
It's a long time ago. I just remember how in tune Father DiOrio was. He actually stopped his healing service and sought this person out.
Right.
And they had, it was quite, it was shocking. To be a witness to. The other thing that struck me was how difficult and how much pain Father DiOrio had to go through in order to continue with that.
Wow.
It was like he, the demon or whatever you want to call it that was in that individual was like attacking him to get him to go away, It was frightening for me, and I'm sure many of the people who witnessed it were frightened because it was interesting.
Well, I think one of the interesting things about it is that
I think the church now is more and more involving teams of people when they do an exorcism, including a psychologist or a psychiatrist involved, in order to have a sort of balanced team to deal with all of that.
Yes, I do agree with that, Brother Paul. As a matter of fact, one of my clinicians and I took a client. There is a psychiatrist in Connecticut who is on the board of exorcists. So it was good to know someone who has the professional credentials and yet believes in this. And I do know in New Jersey there is Father Sodano, who is part of the Franciscan Friars of the Renewal, Father Groeschel's group, who is studying about exorcism.
Right.
Okay.
Well, sorry to divert the conversation, but I think, you know, sometimes people need to know about this.
Absolutely. Without a doubt. By the way, Carol did bring a song. I know my dear friend Al Barbarino is listening. So, Al, you got to get me some songs so I could play your songs on the show, too. But anyway, this song that Carol brought was Fix Me.
Fix Me, Jesus.
Fix Me, Jesus, yes. So, Trevor, can we have that? Feature that we do on the show, we do a saint, feature a saint every show, and I would like to feature a saint, and it's the Saint Difna.
She's a goodie.
She's a goodie, yeah. She's the patron saint for mental illness, and she has quite an interesting story, and I'll be quick, because this show was really an interesting show, so I don't want to dominate it, but let me go. Story in life and her death. According to Christian tradition, Dyfna was born in Ireland in the 7th century. Dyfna's father, Damon, was the king of a certain area there, but he was a pagan. But her mother was a devout Christian. When Dyfna was about 14 years old, she consecrated herself to Christ, taking a vow of chastity. Shortly thereafter, the mother died. Damon had loved his wife dearly, deeply, and in the aftermath of her death, his mental health sharply deteriorated. Eventually, the king's counselors pressed him to remarry. Damon agreed, but only on the condition that a bride as beautiful as his deceased wife was procured for him. After searching fruitlessly, Damon began to desire his daughter because of the strong resemblance she bore to her mother. When Dyfna learned of her father's intentions, she swore to uphold her vows and fled his court along with her confessor, two trusted servants, and the king's fools. Together they sailed toward the continent, eventually landing in what is the present-day Belgium, where they took refuge. One tradition states that once settled, Saint Dyfna built a hospice for the poor and sick of the region. However, it was through the use of her wealth that her father would eventually ascertain her whereabouts, as some of the coins used enabled her father to trace them to Belgium. Damon sent his agents to pursue her, his daughter, and her companions. When their hiding place was discovered, Damon traveled to recover his daughter and to bring her into marriage. Damon ordered his soldiers to kill the priest and tried to force Dyfna to return with him to Ireland, but she resisted. Furious, Damon threw his sword and struck off his daughter's head. She was said to have been 15 years old when she died and resisted her father's advances. After Dyfna was martyred, the residents of that area built in a nearby cave a church in tribute to her. Years later, they decided to move the remains to a more suitable location. In 1349, a church honoring Saint Dyfna was built. By 1480, so many pilgrims were coming from all over Europe seeking treatment for the mentally ill that the church housing was then expanded. And soon the sanctuary that was built in her honor began to overflow, and the townspeople began asking them to bring people into their homes. Thus began a tradition for the opening care of the mentally ill that was endured for over 700 years and is still studied and envied today. Patients were and still are taken into the inhabitants of their homes. Never called patients, they are called boarders and are treated as ordinary and useful members of the town. They are treated as members of the host family. They work most often in menial labor, and in return they become part of the community and receive treatment. Some stay a few months, some decades, and some of their entire lives. At its peak in the 1930s, over 4,000 boarders were housed in the town's inhabitants. And so it continues to today, and patriotism and devotion to Saint Dyfna for her devotion to the mentally ill. And that's the short story of Saint Dyfna, another child martyr, another child saint for the love of Jesus.
It's beautiful. I didn't know some of that story, especially about the part of the borders and what happened in the town, but I do know Saint Dyfna for a long time. I think that it's very interesting that nothing's new under the sun, because centuries ago people are in grief and they're getting anxious and depressed.
And they have mental illness just like we do today.
Mm-hmm.
it's an ongoing thing. So maybe if someone does feel they have some mental illness, and they may want to pray to St. Diffna.
I think that's a very good idea.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So let's move onward. let me ask you another question. In your, this is actually a counseling, but it's also a ministry. Just like Brother Paul has a healing ministry. I can't even begin to mention all the things Brother Paul has. He has a soup kitchen. How many people do you feed, Brother Paul?
About 125,000 meals a year.
125,000 meals a year to the hungry and the poor. Tell us a little something about your clothing distribution. You look like you got a Macy's going on over there. You hand out coats to the poor for the winter and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, usually the Saturday after Thanksgiving, we give away several thousand coats. It's... It actually started about 10 years ago. One February, I was in the soup kitchen, and we were closed, and this woman came knocking on the door. She was there with two children, and it was about 18 degrees, and she had no coat on. And I was so horrified that there she was with these little kids that, you know, I immediately ran and got some coats. And that's what really started it, just seeing that woman's face and those kids, and it's turned into a big operation. It's like Macy's, and it's very wonderful because even though the social service aspect of my charity is in Newark, New Jersey, almost all the coats come from Long Island, thanks to people like John Palmer and Tony and Techie and a bunch of other people out there work really hard every year. And they basically collect several thousand coats that are beautiful. They're in great, great condition. I mean, I can't believe some of the coats that we get. They're better than my wife's.
Well,
so that's and so it's a real big need, you know. I mean, it's something that's really hard to believe that people can't have coats, but that's the truth of it.
Well, I feel like I'm sitting with two saints that are doing Jesus' work. I really do, and I'm honored to be sitting with with the three of you guys. It's totally an honor. Carol, let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm. I'm ready.
Okay. What if someone contacts you and you set them up with a counselor? Is that person must stay with that counselor? What if it doesn't work out with that counselor? Yeah. How does that work within your realm?
Mm-hmm. Most of the time it does work out. I know they don't meet the person beforehand. All our counselors are Catholic faith-based counselors.
Certified.
Licensed and certified.
Okay.
But if it doesn't work, I allow one change.
Okay.
Okay, because I could understand that. We just had someone not too long ago that in his discernment, it wasn't the right fit. So I did change and gave him someone, and he's very happy with that other counselor. There are times, though, people just want to counselor shop, go from one counselor to another. And that we can't
do. Of course.
Do.
Yeah, of mm-hmm. course. That's mm-hmm. not what you're there for.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You're there to help them and to cure them.
Well, Jesus is there.
Jesus. Yes, I stand corrected, absolutely.
Yeah, Jesus is there. He's the greatest
healer,
counselor, psychotherapist. I mean, he knew human nature. Basically, what you're talking about is human nature.
Yes.
You're not talking about divinity, the part of us that is close to the Lord. We're talking... counseling deals with the emotional aspects of a person, which is really their humanity and how they relate to other people, basically, how they relate to other people in their humanity. But the gospel has all the answers.
Yeah, the Bible is our guide to living.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I mean, anything we really want to know, mm-hmm. all we have to do is try looking it up in the Bible. That's our actual guide.
Yeah.
Now, one more question. Vinny. You're, in my eyes, an unsung hero. Yes, you are. Don't say no, but you are. I'll tell you why. You know my business. My fortitude is business. And all the businesses that I've studied and all the businesses that I've done, it always came out to one thing. If your spouse does not back you up and does not support you, don't dare go into that business because it will not succeed. And so what I'm trying to say is you're there, you got a smile on your face, and I know you love it, but in my eyes and in Jesus' eyes, you're the pillar. You're the pillar of this operation because you support it so dearly. Yeah. And I could see you support it because I could see the smile on your face.
We started this really in 1988 when we moved to Long Island and we decided that she could change careers.
Uh-huh.
She finished school, she got her addiction counseling, she got licensed with the state and all that stuff professionally. But she was struggling because in the jobs that she was holding, it was strictly a secular approach. By the numbers, you do what the book says you're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And being a faith-filled person, it was very, very difficult for her to not be able to do what the Lord was telling her to do. So we literally started her practice that's developed into the Living Waters Counseling Center in our living room.
Wow.
And it grew from there. And our home was used for a while, but she was attracting so many clients, and that's God. And there were so many clients coming that we realized that more space was needed, and we had to search a long, long time, and finally, about, I don't know, is it 11
years?
11 years ago, she found the space in Melville.
I see.
But, you know, it's been a long, bumpy road with some major potholes.
Yes, of course.
But, you know, we worked together on most of it, and I wouldn't change it.
Attaboy. And you're an unsung hero. And Paul, let's not remember, your wife is also an unsung hero. Because
you know, I was thinking about what you were saying, and I thought to myself, well, you know, it's actually better if your spouse doesn't support you. Then that brings more clients to Carol.
You might be right.
That's okay, Brother Paul. It's okay. We have enough problems in the world.
I couldn't agree with you more, Tony. I mean, my life changed so radically and, you know, I've known my wife since I'm 7 years old, and I'm 67 years old now.
Wow.
So, I mean, we have a history that goes back, you know, a long, long time. And my life turned on a dime from, you know, the life of a business executive living in a, you know, very upscale environment and all of that, a privileged environment, to, you know, having to change completely and radically. And, you know, it wasn't easy, but she was able to, you know, to make that transition, thanks be to God.
Absolutely. And so
I agree with you totally.
So your spouses are the unsung heroes.
Including your spouse.
Including mine. I don't know how she puts up with half the stuff I do.
Well, that's what I say about Vinny, because so, I am not home very much.
So a bit of advice. That's a little bit of business advice. If anyone's purporting to go into a business, stuff like that, just do me a favor. Make sure your spouse supports it 100%, because then that can make you a big success. And so I give you praise and glory, Vinny, and Brother Paul, to your wife, for allowing you guys to do the things that
and
you do.
And to Joan, your wife.
And to Joan, yes.
Yes,
yes, to my wife. And so I hold you guys up in prayer to Jesus.
Thank you.
And the Holy Spirit.
Thank you
continue,
so much.
Continue this work. I think that... Paul, would you mind offering a prayer to for Dr. Palmer and for our petitions. We have a bag full of petitions that we pray for, and I pray for every day. If you can offer a prayer, I'd be much appreciative.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to say something briefly about the prayer, because I've said it before, and I say it all over the world. But in 1997, the very first person I was asked to pray for, even though I didn't have a knowledge that I was going to have a healing ministry or that I even had a healing gift from God, happened to be a 35-year-old woman with an inoperable brain tumor that was dying and had two small children. And the first night I prayed for her, I started to pray, and God gave me these words. And from that day forward, I've prayed this prayer every day for literally hundreds of thousands of people. And there have been healings all over the world reported just from me praying this prayer by our Lord, you know, who gave me this. So it's a very significant prayer, and one which I gladly offer for John and for all the listeners and for the petitioners who have asked for our prayers. So I begin in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, you said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. And so I bring the petitions of those listening to this radio show to your most sacred heart. I ask that you bless them and heal them in body, mind, and soul according to your will. I ask you to be moved by these petitions as you're moved by the tears of Martha and Mary for their beloved brother Lazarus, as you're moved by your mother's request at the marriage ceremony at Cana, as you're moved by the faith of the Samaritan woman who believes she'd be healed by touching the tassel of your cloak. I thank you, Lord, for the many times when you've intervened in the past, especially on behalf of those for whom we offer these prayers. And I look forward with peace, hope, and joy at your future coming for the conversion of souls. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
Carol, Jesus. Would you like to offer a prayer?
Okay. Father God, in Jesus' name, through the working of the Holy Spirit, the intercession of Mary, your mother, and the healing power of Jesus the Messiah, we thank you, we praise you, and we worship you, Lord. We give you great glory for the gift of life, the gift of human life, and the gift of eternal life. We ask that you continue to be with all your people, Lord. We ask that you continue to bring healing to John, to the people who are asking for healing, and for the people in the world who need healing. We know you are the great healer, and you healed before, and you will heal now. We continue to ask for your mercy, and we continue to trust in your great mercy. And Jesus, we trust in you also. Amen.
Absolutely. He's never let me down. Can we go out with Amazing Grace? Amazing Grace. Thank you, listeners. Thank you, Brother Paul.
Thank you, Tony.
Carol, and thank you, Neil. I love you guys. And listeners, we love you dearly. And you're in our prayers, and thank you for listening. Come back again, you hear?
Peace.
Peace to you, Brother Paul.
The views expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB. I was blind.